Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. Today we are joined by Chris Barnacle, Director of Libraries for the San Luis Obispo County Library, and by Dr. Clint Slaughter of Slow Makerspace. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I'm sure everyone knows what a public library is, and they may not know what a makerspace is. Tell us a little bit about the history of makerspaces and what they do, not just here, but maybe around the country.
Sure, Brian. So makerspaces have been around for just over a decade, and there's an argument as to whether they started in Germany or in New York. There's started as hackerspaces, and you know they're not hacking the Department of Defense database or anything like that. It's more like hacking what you have and materials or devices that aren't working properly and hacking your life, making things work better for you. And it's an exploration of hands-on building and making using both traditional woodworking and metalworking as well as newer technologies with prototyping and 3D printing, laser cutting, all kinds of just pretty much anything to build anything you'd like. So makerspaces and hackerspaces started and have been growing over the time. We have now hundreds in the United States, and there's around the world there's makerspaces. MIT has the Fab Lab, which is a nonprofit, and I think there's 70 Fab Labs around the world. Makerspaces are becoming areas and places where people can collaborate, where people can learn, and entrepreneurs are using makerspaces to prototype their products, and also schools are using makerspaces to help develop hands-on curriculum, and that's what we've been trying to do here in San Luis Obispo.
I suppose the things you make would have to be small that you could carry in a suitcase away. You wouldn't be building a tall building or a freight train or anything like that?
I don't know. We actually have had people work on their campers so they can pull their camper up in front of the makerspace, and they work on cabinets, and so they'll do things piecemeal. But we've had large desks. We've had all kinds of furniture made in the makerspace, but also very small things, little robots or you know, handmade bowls or crafty type of things. We've had dresses sewn and stickers made and pottery, a little bit of everything.
Now, Chris, let's talk a little bit about the public library and its history in the United States. How far does it go back, and broadly speaking, maybe how has it changed over the past years?
That's a great question, and I'd say in the short amount of time to cover the full history would be difficult, but if we can move forward to today, I'd say that it has changed from the aspect of a traditional resource of lending materials to something that encompasses more services like the makerspace. So in Slo County, we're very fortunate that we have a readership that is strong, and as a county system, we're actually a net borrower of materials from other jurisdictions. We're looking at ways in which we can expand services to the community here, and in discussions with Dr. Slaughter, we felt like this would be a good opportunity for both the community and for our respective organizations. We actually conducted a survey this year for library services, and we found that we had about 91% feedback saying that people were satisfied with the level of services that were provided. And when we spoke about additional services like Makerspace, we had a really strong feedback saying that would be just a fantastic benefit to the public. What was more exciting to us was we had a number of people who said, we don't know what Makerspace is. So we feel like this is a real educational opportunity for us to bridge this partnership and really create something for the community that does well for it.
Libraries have been around for thousands of years, but most of that time just serving some type of elite, religious, political elite. And what was different about libraries in this country was that they were meant to serve everyone and primarily supported by tax money. An interesting complement to that is that probably, except for a class visit, most people go to the library by themselves or maybe with a friend, one-on-one to access knowledge, to read books, these days to look at the internet. But it sounds to me like the makerspace concept is the next logical step in that process where people have wisdom or they want to gain some wisdom and they want to do it in a place that's conducive and supportive of that, and they don't want to do it with others learning together how to do things that they didn't know before. It might be a hobby, it might be something for their business or a life goal they have. And so this is one way, maybe a great way, to bring people together and to build not just items or widgets, but a sense of community. Any comments?
I'd say absolutely. I think the library and makerspaces have a natural connection. And there's book learning and desk learning, which is primarily what schools are doing these days. And it's really important. And you have to pass tests and move forward. And so there's a wealth of knowledge at libraries. And there's some collaboration that happens there. But like you said, it's a lot of individual type of thing. But then you go on to hands-on learning, and that's a lot more difficult to learn from a book. And you really have to experiment. You have to know that when you try to make something or build something, you're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to have problems. And rather than when you're taking a test, if you fail or do poorly, now you've just gotten a bad grade and you feel bad about it. And you can maybe use that for motivation to move forward. But if you fail when you're building something, say your joint fails on when you're making a table, then you learn from that and then you move forward. So we actually celebrate failure at the Makerspace. And it's a natural part of the process, which builds confidence, and it allows you to learn new ways to look at problems and new ways to solve or to find solutions. So it's a different type of learning than you get at a traditional library, but it's a natural extension of it.
On your website, it talked about certain things, which you've just alluded to, requiring either a different approach or an additional commitment of time and attention. You might learn about, you know, how to build a boat that you would cross a lake with in a classroom, but in a makerspace, you might build that boat.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's people there that you can bounce ideas off. There is this community that we've been growing, and I'm really excited to have the library involved in that as well. We'll expand this community of knowledge, you know, people that are used to being at the library and having the book knowledge, and now let's get them in to share some of that with people that are doing hands-on, or they learn the hands-on portion of it. And we've developed, you know, there's a lot of barriers to learning we found, and we've tried to get around that in a few different ways. One is we've been posting our curriculum online on a website called Instructables. So if you take the laser class and forget how to use the laser cutter when you come in to use it, then you go on our Instructable and it shows you step by step how to use our laser cutter. Same thing with pottery and our CNC router and the 3D printer. So that's one way we've decreased the barriers. But the next one is we have gurus. So we have volunteers that are staff for the Makerspace, and we have different guru nights. So there's a 3D printer guru that comes in on Saturdays, and Nate's our welding guru on, I think, he's Tuesdays. And so you can take the class, but also if you have a problem with your project, or you just can't get over that hump where you're hesitant to make the commitment to start working on something because it's daunting to some extent to try a new skill or to develop a new skill, then we have people there. We have this community that can help you do that. So it's a really exciting way to use that knowledge that you've learned in other places, or, you know, start a new hobby or develop new products or what have you.
Well, make new friends, acquaintances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too. And, you know, there's a connection here with Cal Poly, and they're learn by doing. Have you pondered how that might build off each other or how it might be modeled?
Absolutely. We've been working with Cal Poly and Cuesta and the local school districts as well. And, you know, we've done a few different events here and there. We don't have a regular setup for them with them right now, but they're doing amazing things over there. Same thing with the Hot House. It's Cal Poly Center for Entrepreneurship. So there's a lot of great resources in town, and we aim to be just one of those resources for the community and work with everybody else in a way we can collaborate.
Now, I assume you have a budget and people are members of that. Mm-hmm. And are there paid staff or is it volunteer? How does that work?
It's all volunteer right now. We don't have any paid staff, which we'd like to afford a paid staff member, but, you know, it's membership based. We've changed a lot. We started out more of the makerspaces can either be sometimes nonprofit, where it can be a very inexpensive membership. Sometimes there's for-profit like Tech Shop up in the Bay Area, and they charge $125 or more a month. And initially we were $95 a month, and we found that there were a few people in town that loved having access to the shop. That's no problem for them. But if you don't use it regularly, then it's hard to justify. So now we're much less expensive, $45 a month. Kids less than 16 are free with a parent membership, and then we have family memberships and corporate memberships, so you get a couple of rotating tags for your company. So there's a lot of different ways, and we're trying to make it as accessible as possible so everybody can get in and utilize the space and decrease those barriers.
Yeah, that's, to me, an important point. We were talking earlier about a lot of the learning can happen online or the tutorials, mm-hmm. podcasts perhaps, but that you also have a physical space, a workshop, if you will, mm-hmm. where people go and make things.
Yeah, having that space is really important. And, you know, a lot of people can't afford certain tools or they don't have space for it. And so that's what the Makerspace is, the place for those tools. And again, it's an extension of the library in a way where, you know, there's all these books that you wouldn't have access to normally, or CDs or videos at the library. And the Makerspace, we have tools, we have, you know, machines that you would never be able to buy on your own unless you're actually a machinist or doing high-end work. So now you get to learn how to use them. that. And then actually that nimbleness that you talked about, you know, the more you learn hands-on, I think, and I use this every day in the emergency department, you know, you have to be nimble. You have to find solutions for the problems in front of you. And the more you do and the more you discover different techniques and different skills and tools you use, the more nimble you are in everything. You know, even if it's fixing your house or, you know, stopping a leak in your faucet or figuring out how to finish a project for school, you know, the more you have in your, what you said, your toolkit, your life toolkit, I think you mentioned earlier, the better you can do with these things. And I think it's important for both kids and adults to really explore a lot of these skills.
You know, two qualities I love that people have, or they should have more of, I think. One is patience, you know, because good things take time very often, and then persistence as well, not getting discouraged. And you mentioned earlier failure being an acceptable part, a necessary part of the process.
I wanted to add something real quick, if
sure,
I may.
Sure, go ahead, Chris.
I think part of the beauty of this partnership is just the access and equity that we strive for in public libraries. In the library, we don't have the resident experts. We don't have the capacity to bring in the machines. We don't have the capacity to maintain the machines. And what we have in this partnership is an established makerspace that is got all the machines, all the resident experts. It's got the ability to kind of transform people's lives here on the Central Coast in a way that was previously either inequitable or inaccessible. And so our desire here is to take our 75,000 cardholders and provide them with limited access on a weekly basis to the makerspace. And we have an agreement now formed that our cardholders have access 15 hours a week in the evenings, Monday through Friday, to the space on a limited basis. There are certainly tools within the makerspace like welders and CNC machines that require a heightened level of experience and tutorial. So those who would like to have access to that, they pay a nominal fee in order to get the tutoring, the mentoring, right. in order to have that happen.
Yep.
But the beauty is, again, with 75,000 cardholders, we're not poaching from the makerspace those members. We're providing exposure to this awesome resource on the Central Coast. And hopefully we're actually building not only increased usage of our cardholders, but increased cardholders in the community. You know, one of the real challenges we find in public libraries is reaching out to the 18 to 24-year-old demographic. And I think having this partnership with Dr. Slaughter's Makerspace will really help achieve that goal for us. So
I remember the surveys talking about that. And in the machine age, everything is either does happen instantly or we feel it needs to happen instantly. And I often view these things, these strategic initiatives and things that take time to make it right as an antidote to some of that instantaneous expectation. This is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today we are joined by Chris Barnicle, Director of Libraries for the San Luis Obispo County Library, and Dr. Clint Slaughter, head of the SLO Makerspace. Chris, talk a little bit of it more, if you would, about how you would see these activities fitting into the library. This takes some of the ideal programs and goals of the library out of the library into the community.
Yeah, so I think it's just an expansion of the services we provide the community. And so, yes, as Dr. Slaughter spoke of earlier, you have the ability to go in and pull print materials off the shelf and read about it. The key is the translation to actually doing, and I think that's exactly what the makerspace provides. This is an opportunity for kinesthetic learning and really getting out there and seeing the results of your labors. And again, you have this amazing resource in both the videos that are provided, the resident experts, along with the equipment that's there. And so if you can't afford to have the equipment and can't justify it on your own, then here you have this community-based resource that would allow you to create these products. In public libraries across the country, this is something that's not new, that's been trending over the last 10 years, and it's something that's not going to go away. This partnership provides us with the luxury of having our cardholders have access to this without having to have it resident within our facilities. And I think that's really key, because there is still that traditional sacredness of having a quiet space in which you learn. This now allows for people to take that and translate it in this facility, which is currently located in San Luis, Dr. Slaughter, we're
actually moving this weekend to the Pacific Coast Center, which is right where Madonna dead ends into Higuera, and we have a larger space. It's going to be better divided between the shop, the noisier, dustier side, and the craft area and the computing area. We have sewing and pottery over on that side, and 3D printing and those kind of things. So I was impressed. Chris came to me and had this idea, and he gets it. And I got to tell you, you don't really get a makerspace often until you go into it and you walk around. You see, wow, I've never even thought of putting all these things in under one roof and how they connect together. Like, why would you have a sewing machine and then have a CNC router? Well, you can use all those things on one project. You can use a 3D printer. You can use a mill. You can use the saws. You can use a little bit of everything to make your project into a reality. And having it all in front of you, you just really start to see. We have all kinds of different fun projects that people have made hanging up and dotting the shelves. And it's a little cluttery, but frankly, it's sort of inspiring. And so Chris came to the makerspace, a lot of people, when you walk in there, your eyes kind of open up and you, wow, this is a cool place. And so he said, you know what? I see this collaboration. I've seen libraries do this. Let's make something happen. Let's get access to our county library cardholders to explore this space and then see where we go with it. So I appreciate that, Chris. And I think it's a vision that not a lot of librarians might have off the bat, because you just have to get it.
What would a person do if they lived in San Miguel or Napomo and your shop is here? How would they take advantage of some of your services if they weren't close by?
We are open 24 hours right now. The library access is going to be somewhat limited initially, and we may be able to expand that over time depending on funding. But right now, if you're a regular member, you can swipe in 24 hours a day. You have to have a tool buddy. You can't be running machines on your own, of course. But once you pass the safety class and get checked off on different machines that you want to be utilizing, I mean, you can come at any hour, really. So that's exciting. We've done that relatively recently because we found that some people are retired and have all day to tinker around on stuff, and other people have to work, of course. And so we have Cal Poly students in there at 2:00 in the morning working on 3D printing projects. So it really is an expansion, and provides better access, especially for people with limited resources otherwise. We have always a crew of Cal Poly students that come over at the end of every quarter, banging down the doors, trying to get their architecture projects or engineering projects done because their shops are somewhat limited. So same thing goes with distance. You just have to have all your gear ready and plan to spend a day and get your project done, or just come back multiple times and try to avoid using too much gas getting back and forth, I suppose.
Could you explain what, I sort of understand the concept, but what is a 3D printer?
Well, a 3D printer is, there's multiple different kinds, but the ones that are most inexpensive, you can buy a kit for $350 to $500, or assembled ones for less than $1,000 now. And essentially what it's a picture of a hot glue gun that extrudes filament. You get a big spool of plastic filament that's PLA or ABS plastic, and it squirts it out through the heating element, and it's got stepper motors that move it back and forth on an X, Y, and Z axis and up and down. And so you take your 3D model that you can download from the internet or make your yourself, and then you put you slice it up. Literally, there's a program called Slicer that slices that 3D model into layers that you set the parameters of your 3D printer, and it just squirts out the plastic layer by layer, and it takes sometimes hours to get a print done. But within that time, you've gone from having a virtual file, a 3D image or model, to an actual physical object that you can use in real life applications or prototyping. And it's pretty amazing to watch. I mean, you feel really productive if you have your 3D printer running, even if you're messing around on Facebook, and you're like, look what I'm making right now.
Sort of a Star Trek type science fiction-y thing.
It seems like that, yeah. And they have they have laser sintering 3D printers where you can actually print out a aircraft grade part. NASA just tested their first 3D printed rocket part. It's just amazing.
One of the big goals of a library is to have cross-generational learning. Those that have the information be able to transmit it to those that need that information. And I certainly can see that. In the last few moments of the program, I want to ask how you recruit, two questions, your gurus, your experts, and how you find out what the content of your classes should be, listening to the customer. So how do you recruit your gurus? How do you decide what your curriculum is going to be in any given semester or year?
Well, that's a great question. We have recruited our gurus. Basically, they gravitate towards us. It's really interesting. We've got, we're getting a new 3D printer guru now because one of our members, Juan, has just showed an amazing amount of ability with the 3D printer. He's printed out new parts for our 3D printer without us asking him to do anything. He's fixed both of our two of our three printers and built all kinds of new parts for it on the 3D printer. It's a little meta, but fun. But people, we noticed that a lot of people love the makerspace, the maker movement. equipment and the makerspace, and a number of people just gravitated towards certain machines. Like Lauren started working with the laser cutter and vinyl cutter, and now she's our guru and she's amazing at it, but she learned it as she went along. And we're finding people become members, they learn these skills, they collaborate with other people, and then they pass the knowledge on to other members, and then sometimes they get good enough and have enough interest and time to want to be a guru. And so we welcome anybody who has the skills, who wants to be a part of it, to first be a member and then, you know, develop those skills and become a guru eventually.
Cool. It's so exciting. I mean, I hate to get a little over the edge here, but you could consider a community a makerspace, getting people involved and acquainted with each other.
Absolutely.
This has been Brian Reynolds, a volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library, for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today we were joined by Christopher Barnicle, Director of Libraries for the San Luis Obispo County Library, and Dr. Clint Slaughter, head of the SLO Makerspace. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Brian. Thank you, Chris.